All right. Good morning, church family. Morning, morning, everyone. How we doing this beautiful Sunday? Everyone good? Everyone good? Man, we're doing all right over here on Catalina. We got a lot better weather than Louisiana, I think, this morning, right? Man, hey, good to see you guys. Welcome to Bird Park Church. It's great to see you. My name's Reed. Got a little announcements here. Actually, next week, the men are going through a pretty awesome intensive, two or three days of just intense focus and time together, delving into the heart of the man and learning about that and going into this message. And a part of that is bringing in some support. We got a lot of hungry men, and so we need some food. So if you feel led, and if you have some extra food, and you feel led to help support one of those meals during that time, get with myself or John. And hey, if you just have some money and you're just like, hey, I'll just give some money, we can take that too. So there's a need there for next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We also got the women's group, mom's group, actually, to be specific, starting up again this Friday. We'd love to see you there, moms, at the Herb's house at 9 o'clock in the morning. And get with myself or Carol, for more information on that. That's been an awesome thing. I've really heard good things about it. So I hear it over the Skype once in a while. So that's my role. Man, you know, we have heard often preached about the enemy, and the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. We've heard this, right? Tax you in your weaknesses. I've got this mouse in my home that is really taking me out right now. Okay, guys, this is my cry for help. If you guys have anything that you know to get rid of mouse, I've tried everything and it's not happening. It ate my shoelaces. It ate my peaches and bananas. I tried peanut butter. It moves the mouse trap to a safe space and then eats the peanut butter on its own. All right, so I don't have a mouse trap anymore. Well, hey, in all seriousness though, you know, going into a season here where, as the band comes up, going into a season where I feel like I'm able to kind of see that proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. I've picked my head out of the muck, and I lift my eyes up to the hills. What does the scripture say? I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Where does my help come from, church? From the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. We're going to be singing that about today. I love this verse. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, and you restore. Amen? Mm. All right, let's worship. Stand with me. Let's worship.
That's awesome. Thanks, Reed. And again, the lyrics to the songs are there on those QR codes. If you scan that with your smartphone, you can follow along with the lyrics this morning. Let's turn our attention to Him.
Lord, we welcome you in this place. Lord, we welcome you to move our hearts and mold them and make them ready to just be in worship, even if we don't sing, but that our hearts would be melted before you. Lord, bring a presence that we will remember. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and how beautiful to be in your creation today. Thank you, Jesus. You are good, you are good, and there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, when you've covered all my sin.
Yeah, you are peace, you are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in your death that's lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms, the riches of
Why don't we just sing those words at the bridge again? Just my heart will sing.
Yes, Jesus.
Sing out these words to him.
My heart will sing. No.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Asopaleo mis batallas. Asopaleo mis batallas. Puede ser que estoy rodeado por ti. Puede ser que estoy rodeado por ti. Puede ser que estoy rodeado por ti. And this is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I find 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 my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Fight in worship to you, so I fight my battles. It may seem that we're surrounded at times, but God, you are all over our life. And we fight our battles by remembering that your presence is with us, and we worship you, Father, in that truth, that you never leave us nor forsake us. You're to be found everywhere, and gosh, what a beautiful morning to be singing out here with all creation already shouting out these truths. But Father, just thank you for the power that worship is in our life. Just singing these truths that proclaim the power of your hand and your provision over our lives. We love you and we praise your name in this place.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, it trembles at his voice. God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great,
how great is our God.
Oh, God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Woo. You may be seated.
Thank you, worship band. Everybody give them a hand. There's more coming. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. We got plenty of worship this morning. And welcome to all who are here and all the various ways that we can arrive this morning. Whether we actually are here physically, whether we're here mobily in our automobiles, or whether we're here online. And Matthew, I know you're... I see you. I see you waving. Yeah. It's good to see you again. You're looking good, bro. And Andrew and his family, yeah, they're all there waiting for us, with us. It's great to be here this morning, amen. We know that God is here. We acknowledge that he is here. I like it when our invocational prayers and things, we're not inviting him, because how can you invite somebody who's already here, right? We're acknowledging the fact that he is here, and that he is here all the time. He is here all the time. He can't help but be here. And we praise God for that fact. Today we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew. Open up, if you would, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, right? Thank you, Henry. Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to be in 22. I'm actually going to read till Matthew 12, 22 to 32. I think Enrique stops a little sooner than that. But... Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. And then a demon-possessed man who was blind and unable to speak was brought to him, to Jesus. And Jesus healed him so that the man could both speak and see. Jesus healed him so the man could both speak and see. And all the crowds were astounded. And they said, could this be the son of David? I mean, they're still asking that question. Could this really be the Messiah? After all he's done, they're still asking the question. And the Pharisees heard, when the Pharisees heard this, when they heard them asking the question, could this be the son of David? They said to him, their answer was, this man drives out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Now, right off the bat, that's kind of weird thinking, isn't it? That he's driving out demons by the king of demons, by the power of the king of demons, who's allowing the demons to be there in the first... It's kind of circular reasoning, right? It doesn't make sense. Knowing their thoughts, he told them, you know, every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction. No city, no house divided against itself can stand, will stand. If Satan drives out Satan, then he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if he drives out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons drive them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. Not necessarily me. And if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, however, then that means the kingdom of God has indeed come upon you. How can someone enter a strong man's house and steal his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder that man's house. Anyone who is not with me is what? Is against me. And anyone who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, people will be forgiven every sin and every blasphemy except the blasphemy against the Spirit. That blasphemy will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, well, it'll be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the one to come. And all God's people said. And there's a lot in that. We're not going to get to that second half that really, maybe we will in a couple of weeks. We'll see. But that first half has an awful lot in it. And it's great. It's going to be great to hear what God has put on Enrique's heart to talk to us about houses divided, about unity. The power of Jesus was always on full display, wasn't it? No matter where he went, the power of Jesus was always on full display throughout his ministry. And yet some, and especially the Pharisees, doubted it. Not only doubted it, but they criticized his power. We see that in this passage. In this passage, Jesus has a strong response to those, however, who doubt his power, who do criticize it. He not only logically defends his power against what they said, but he also issues a dire warning. A warning about where this doubt, where this lack of repentance may lead. Looking quickly at this passage, there are three incredible points that we want to realize. Number one, the power of Jesus is recognized. It's recognized not only by the people, it's also recognized by the religious elite, right? Verses 22 and 23, we see that Jesus is once again faced with demonic oppression. He's faced with a demon-possessed man. That's nothing new. He was healing them and others who had other ailments constantly in his ministry, throughout his ministry. And so he again shows his dominance over demonic activity, over the realms of demons, over Satan's realms. Shows he desires to help those in need who are being afflicted by evil. And he shows his divine power to heal. Right? All of those right here in these verses. Jesus proves, as he has proven time and time again, he really is sent by God. Not just words, but actions, right? But actions prove it. He really does bring with him. He really is ushering in the kingdom of God, and that he really is doing God's work. And yet, the second point, the power of Jesus, although it is recognized, it's still questioned. It's still questioned. I'm sure glad we don't do that in this day. We just accept it, right? I'm glad we've learned our lesson over time. It's pathetic. You think the Pharisees are illogical? Boy, you should hear some of the excuses nowadays, right? Some of the modern day Pharisees, even if they find them in the church. The Pharisees, however, in verses 24 to 27, they could no longer deny the work of Jesus. I mean, it's right there. It's right there in front of their faces. And the people were recognizing it. If they said, no, I don't see anything, what? What did he do? No, they had to recognize it. They had to recognize that Jesus had power. Everyone was witnessing it. Everyone was hearing about it. But remember, the Pharisees hated the work of Jesus. So if we were to go back in chapter 12 to verse 14, we would learn that they were so infuriated with Jesus. They were so upset by what he was doing that they were devising ways to kill him. They were plotting his death because of what he was doing against them. He was ruining their scene, right? I mean, literally just blowing what they had, any power at all. They couldn't deny his work, so they tried to submit an alternative theory. In other words, lies. They lied about how Jesus did his miraculous powers. They questioned the legitimacy of his power. Not the fact that he had power, but the legitimacy of his power. They used lies, deception. Now, who is the one that uses that best? Who is the father of all lies? We won't say that too loud for the golfers that are here. It's Satan, right? It's Satan. And so they're using literally Satan's technique against Jesus Christ. Whose power is it that he really is using? It's God's power, right? So in doing this to Jesus, who are they actually deceiving? Or who are they actually bringing heresy against? It's God. It's not Jesus. The God that they claim to be under. The God that they claim to serve. It's amazing. If you look again at verse 24, when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man drives out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." They didn't deny that Jesus could drive out demons, but they did deny that he was doing it by the work of God. Instead, they say that he casts out demons by the power of Satan himself. by the king of demons. They turn to using Satan's tactics of dividing people through deception. But Jesus answers this one quite easily, pointing out the fallacy of their claim by saying that it doesn't make any logical sense that I'm doing it by the powers of Satan against the powers of Satan, that he would drive out demons by the power of demons. And in verse 25, it lets us know that Jesus even knows their thoughts, interestingly enough, because it says, knowing their thoughts, he told them, every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction, is not going to stand, can't possibly stand. It's illogical that it would stand. And no city or house divided against itself will stand. So if Satan drives out Satan, he's dividing against himself. How could that be any sense of power or position of power? How then will his kingdom stand? Well, obviously it won't. Rhetorical question. It's crazy. It's ludicrous. It's illogical. And he's saying, Jesus is, it makes no sense that the prince of darkness would drive out the forces of darkness. So Jesus stands against those who questioned his power. But then he goes a step further in our final point, and he clarifies his power. In verses 28 and 29, Jesus doesn't just leave us with unanswered questions, no. He doesn't just point out the conflict of what the Pharisees suggest, no. Instead, he points us directly to the source of his power. If he's not casting out demons by the power of Satan, then by whose power is it that he is doing it? Again, he contrasts their lack of logic with a very logical question. If it isn't Satan, then who is it? And it obviously now isn't Satan. So he's turning it back on them, proving from their incredible try at deception, proving exactly what they did not want to be proven. That yes, he was empowered by God. Verse 28, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, however, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. It can only be by the power of God that Jesus is doing this. Jesus is fighting the forces of evil with the greatest force of love that the world has ever seen. Jesus is fighting evil by the Spirit of God, and the fact that he is doing so is evidence that the kingdom of God has come through his life, has come through his ministry, and it remains through the love and those that he has now ministering in that love to his people, continuing his work here on earth. The power of God's Spirit is upon us, and the kingdom of God is upon them, all of us, through the work of Jesus. The work of Jesus continues. He continues to supply his Spirit. His Spirit indwells all those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, amen? And continues to empower them with the power of heaven, with the power of God. And here's the beautiful part of it that we, the church, must understand. Satan has been bound up by the work of Jesus. Satan is strong, yes, but Jesus is stronger. The kingdom of God has come, and the kingdom of darkness cannot stop it. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ as long as we are united, as long as we stick together in the power of the Spirit. Those who are followers of Jesus need not fear Satan. Jesus is more powerful. He has a greater dominion. He has more resources. He has been victorious. He is being victorious. He will continue to be victorious over the powers of darkness. And if we're on Jesus' side, if we're united with him, we're on the winning side. And if we unite together with him, we will not fail because he cannot fail. His promise, greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. And all God's people said, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, again we gather together, we come united as brothers and sisters in Christ to remember the extraordinary sacrifice that you made in sending your son, Jesus, your beloved son, to be with us and to die for us. And we thank you for his legacy in words and actions and obedience to suffering on the cross. And Lord, we come to you now to ask for forgiveness for any thoughts, words, or deeds that have not honored your name or his name. And we come to learn more from you, God, how to protect ourselves from evil and focus on what is good, what you desire. And so we invite you to inhabit our hearts, unite our hearts now as we wait on the words that you have for us through our brother Enrique, and bless him, empower him, fill him with your spirit as you have filled us, and come and bind us together as one family focused on you, filled with your love, united by your Holy Spirit. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
as Ron was even just sharing just a moment ago, I love that the kingdom of God is upon us. You know, Jesus came, he showed us who he was. And I just love this song, just needing to care about what Jesus says we are, like who he says we are.
Amen.
What he says goes, amen. Right? And so just taking place in that truth this morning. So as we sing this, let it encourage your heart in that way.
He whispers in my ear, tells me that I'm fearless. He shares a melody, tells me to repeat it.
I'm alive.
zone. All God's people said,
hallelujah.
Amen. Well, you may be seated. And as you do, kids, Sunday school right now, back towards that second chimney back there.
Good morning. Buenos dias. The title of today's message is United We Stand and Divided We Fall. You've heard that saying before. According to Science News, there are two main theories why people form communities. One of them is that it comes from a need to belong in order to increase chances of survival. The second one is that people form groups in order to achieve goals and to seek acceptance from peers. Hay dos teorías principales sobre por los que las personas forman comunidades. La primera teoría deriva de la necesidad de pertenecer para aumentar las posibilidades de supervivencia. La segunda teoría es que las personas forman grupos para lograr metas y buscar la aceptación de sus compañeros. And so things come across our lives, and there are moments that we need to come together as a community to seek the face of God. Hay tiempos y épocas que tenemos que juntarnos a pedirle al Señor que nos ayude y que escuche nuestras oraciones. We're going to pray for two ladies, Melissa y Miriam. Miriam and Melissa, they were just diagnosed with COVID. And so if we can pray for those two right now. Father, we just lift up Melissa and Miriam. Lord God, as they were diagnosed with COVID, we ask God that, Father, that you would place your healing hand upon them and that they would find their rest in you, that they would have a peace beyond understanding, that you would bless the doctors and whatever it is that they're going to be getting, the treatments and the medicines. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bless them, Father, but we're asking and hoping, Father, and anticipating, Lord, complete healing and complete restoration. So, Father, place your hand upon them even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, just as was said earlier, God has brought his kingdom upon us. I want you to take a look around you. Take a look at all the people around you. How different are we? Incredibly. Different ages, different nationalities, different perspectives, different languages. Every single one of us is unique. And yet somehow, we're all gathered together in this beautiful park to celebrate him and to hear what he may have for us today. As Pastor Ron shared, Jesus healed the man. Como Pastor Ron nos enseñó, Jesucristo sanó el hombre. And he was able to talk and see. Podía hablar y ver. And when the Pharisees heard this, they said, he forces out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Y dijeron que era por el poder de Beelzebub. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. And then he said something very interesting. He said, any kingdom where people fight each other will end up ruined. And a town or family that fights will soon destroy itself. You see, Jesus healed a man. And the Pharisees said, he forces out demons by the ruler of demons. Jesus was gaining popularity. And the Pharisees needed to increase their chances of survival. So they made a judgment that Jesus was using demonic methods to do what he did. And as they continued to lose their followers, they united with the Sadducees that they had been at odds with prior. They got together so that they could oppose Jesus. They were trying to survive. Jesús estaba ganando popularidad. Y los fariseos necesitaban aumentar sus posibilidades de supervivencia, por lo que juzgaron que Jesús estaba usando métodos demoníacos para hacer lo que hizo. A medida que continuaban perdiendo seguidores, se unieron a los saduceos con los que habían estado en desacuerdo para oponerse a Jesús. And so we see that sometimes for survival, we will get together with people that we may not even agree with. Sometimes, when difficulties come before us, we start to look around and we look for anyone. And if someone is willing to help, then we'll say, yeah, of course, come along. Muchas veces, cuando tenemos algunos obstáculos, vemos alrededor de nosotros y vemos, y encontramos gente que quizás no están en acuerdo con nosotros, pero están disponibles a ayudarnos. Y nos juntamos con ellos. Los fariseos y los saduceos fueron a ver a Jesús y para tenderle una trampa, le pidieron que hiciera alguna señal milagrosa que probara que él venía de parte de Dios. One day the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. They were not even getting together. They were in opposition to one another, but they were threatened by this Jesus. And so they came together. Later on, we see two Roman leaders unite. In Luke 23, it says, that very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. So we see two leaders, powerful, powerful men that came together, and they were at enmity before, but Jesus, the message of Jesus, was threatening to them. And so that they could survive, they got together. Más tarde vemos a los líderes romanos unirse, dice en Lucas 23. Ese mismo día Pilato y Herodes se hicieron amigos porque anteriormente habían estado enemistados entre sí. Vemos que dos líderes poderosos se juntaron porque vieron la autoridad que Jesucristo tenía y que querían a seguir adelante en su autoridad y se juntaron para pelear contra él. In Acts, we see many groups oppose the gospel of Jesus. In Acts 4:27, it says, for Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. You see, sometimes it takes a common enemy for people that were once against each other to come together. En Hechos vemos que muchos grupos se oponen al Evangelio de Jesús. Hechos dice en 4, es exactamente, Pedro está predicando, es exactamente lo que está sucediendo en esta ciudad. El rey Herodes, el gobernador Poncio Pilato y los demás romanos, así como el pueblo de Israel, están unidos contra Jesús, tu ungido, tu santo siervo. Vemos que de esos grupos se juntaron, estaban unidos a pelear contra Jesús, porque no estaban en acuerdo con él. You see, their authority was being threatened by Jesus, who was growing in influence. And in their eyes, Jesus was a threat to their authority in Israel. And so even though they disliked each other, they realized that they needed each other to keep their position of power. Su autoridad estaba siendo amenazada por Jesús, que estaba creciendo en influencia. Y a sus ojos, Jesús era una amenaza para su autoridad en Israel. Y así, aunque no se agradaban, se dieron cuenta de que se necesitaban para mantener su posición de poder. Later, Paul uses their divisions against them. He was arrested, and he finds that he's among the Sadducees and the Pharisees because they were opposed to his message. In Acts 23, it says, Paul realized that some members of the high council were Sadducees and some were Pharisees. And so he shouted, brothers, I'm a Pharisee, as were my ancestors. And I am on trial because my hope is in the resurrection of the dead. This divided the council, the Pharisees against the Sadducees. You see, he knew that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And so he saw the crowd and he said, I'm going to open up something here, a can of worms. And he says, I'm being persecuted because I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Jesus, right? And so immediately the Sadducees and the Pharisees started fighting each other. And I'm sure, and then Paul was taken out from that group and taken to another place. You see, you cannot hold people together if you're in opposition, even if you have a threat. The key is to be one in spirit and one in heart. And that is what God has done with us. He has brought people from every tribe, every nation, every language, every age, and he's made us all one. That has been done. The only thing that keeps that from being done is us. It's our choices, our decisions that we make. Vemos que en las escrituras dice que Dios ha unido todas las personas, cualquier idioma, cualquier lenguaje, cualquier nación, cualquier persona. Estamos unidos en Cristo. La única cosa que nos divide es nosotros. Let's go back to Jesus' conversation. He says, any kingdom where people fight each other will end up ruined. That word end up ruined means to be brought to ruin, to be laid waste, to become desolate, to be devastated. It expresses abandonment, desertion, or loneliness. Let's look at what happened to Jerusalem once before. In Lamentations 1:1, it says, Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She was once great among the nations and now sits alone like a widow. She was once the queen of all the earth. She is now a slave. Volvamos a la conversación de Jesús que dijo, cualquier reino donde las personas luchen entre sí terminará arruinada, arruinado. Esta palabra, terminar arruinado, significa arruinarse, ser devastado, desolado. También expresa la idea de abandono, deserción o soledad. Vemos lo que sucedió a Jerusalén una vez antes. Lamentaciones dice, las calles de Jerusalén, donde antes siempre había un feliz alboroto, están ahora en silencio. La que era gran señora ahora es como una viuda que se sienta a llorar su soledad. La que era reina de pueblos ahora es la criada. You see, every city, every nation, every town, every community can be destroyed by division. Cualquier nación, cualquier pueblo, cualquier comunidad puede ser dividido o destruido por división. But Jesus continues in the story, he says, and a town or family that fights will soon destroy itself. Jesús continúa diciendo, y un pueblo o una familia que pelea pronto se destruirá a sí mismo. I believe that we have this incredible opportunity. Yo creo que nosotros ahorita en este momento tenemos una oportunidad tremendo. To be able to come together and to be able to fight alongside each other against the things that really matter. You see, we're not the enemy. Tenemos la oportunidad, todos los pueblos en Cristo, a unirnos y quedarnos unidos, a pelear contra las cosas que son lo más importantes, porque nosotros no somos los enemigos. In 2 Corinthians it says, we're not understand putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they're superiors. Paul was writing a response, basically, where some people were saying, well, we're this, we're that, we're this. And so he's saying, we're not understand putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they're superiors, our superiors. We wouldn't dare do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. And the first point is that it's not a competition between ministries. There's no competition between ministries. Every single one of us has a place. Every single one of us has a call. No hay competición entre los ministerios. Dice Pablo, 2 Corintios 10, dice, ciertamente no nos atrevemos a igualarnos o a compararnos con esos que se alaban a sí mismos. Pero ellos cometen una tontería al medirse con su propia medida y al compararse unos con otros. Now, it's okay to compare. It's okay to compete. I love football. I was watching a bunch of football yesterday and watching all these teams compete. And the team that I was behind, they got annihilated. But it's part of competition. It's part of fun. Sometimes we compete in among our families. We can compete over something big like a football game or whatever. We can compete over who makes the best s'mores. You hear the family over there laughing. We have a competition with s'mores. Who makes the best s'mores? And right now the family, the Riley family, have the crown. I actually got a crown from Amazon. And we exchange it to see who wins. So I'm waiting for the day that we get together and I need to get the crown back. Tenemos competencias entre uno mismo. Y hay algunas competencias. No son tan importantes como la vida, pero tenemos competencias entre uno al otro. Familias. ¿Quién hace el mejor? No sé cómo se dice en español, pero una es muy delicioso. Yeah, that's all I can say. It's very delicious. I can't describe it. I don't know the word s'mores in Spanish. Pero muy, muy sabroso y tenemos competencia. A ver quién hace el mejor, ¿verdad? Dulce. Es como dulce. So the key is that we're not competing. We aren't making outrageous claims here, he says, Paul. We're sticking to the limits of what God has set for us. But there can be no question that those limits reach to and include you. We're not moving into someone else's territory. We were already there with you, weren't we? We were the first ones to get there with the message of Christ, right? He was talking to the Corinthians. So how can there be any question of overstepping our bounds by writing or visiting you? He was basically saying, look, I'm staying in my lane. This is the influence that God has placed in my life. He placed me in a place to have some influence in my circle. And every single one of us has a lane. How many of you guys, when you drive over on the freeway over town, and you're going down, let's say, the 405, and someone cuts you off? You know, and the first thought in my head is, dude, stay in your own lane. I was in this lane. I was good. And now you're cutting in front of me. Muchas veces vemos que tenemos que quedarnos en nuestra línea, donde debemos de estar. Nosotros no vamos a gloriarnos más allá de ciertos límites, dice Pablo. Dios es quien señala los límites de nuestro campo de trabajo. Y Él nos permitió llegar hasta ustedes en Corinto. Por eso no estamos saliéndonos de nuestros límites. Como sería el caso de si no hubiéramos estado antes de entre ustedes. Nosotros fuimos los primeros en llevarles a ustedes el Evangelio de Cristo. Tenemos que mantenernos en nuestro propio carril. And then Paul continues on. He says, we're not barging in on the rightful work of others, interfering with their ministries, demanding a place in the sun with them. What we're hoping for is that your lives grow in faith. You play a part within our expanding work. And we'll all still be within the limits God sets as we proclaim the message in countries beyond Corinth. But we have no intention of moving in on what others have done and taking credit for it. And he says, if you want to claim credit, claim it for God. What you say about yourself means nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes the difference. And so the third point is that it's God's opinion is what matters. So we're not competing. We're just called to stay within our lane. Be faithful to what God has placed in front of you. And thirdly, it's God's opinion that matters. Dice Corintios 15, y nos gloriamos de los trabajos que otros han hecho, y no nos gloriamos de los trabajos que otros han hecho. saliéndonos de nuestros límites. Al contrario, esperamos poder trabajar más entre ustedes conforme ustedes vayan teniendo más fe, aunque siempre dentro de nuestros límites. También esperamos extendernos a anunciar el Evangelio en lugares más allá de donde están ustedes, pero sin meternos en campos ajenos para no gloriarnos de los trabajos que otros han hecho. Si alguno quiere gloriarse, que se gloria del Señor. Porque el hombre digno de aprobación no es el que se alaba a sí mismo, sino aquel a quien el Señor alaba. La opinión de Dios es lo que importa. And so in conclusion, in order for communities to survive, we must recognize our common enemy. To increase the chances of survival, the church needs to recognize that we have a common enemy. En conclusión, para que las comunidades sobrevivan, debemos reconocer a nuestro enemigo común. Para aumentar las posibilidades de supervivencia, la iglesia necesita reconocer que tenemos un enemigo común. It's found in Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the spiritual forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. En Efesios 6:2 dice, porque no estamos luchando contra poderes humanos, sino contra malignas fuerzas espirituales del cielo, los cuales tienen mando, autoridad y dominio sobre el mundo de tinieblas que nos rodea. That is the enemy. And that enemy has been defeated. Ese es el enemigo. Y Jesucristo ganó contra él. Él ha ganado. He has won. And he has brought people from every nation, every tongue, everyone, together in him. El Señor ha traído a toda la gente en todo el mundo, de cualquier idioma, cualquier edad, cualquier nación. Y en él estamos unidos. You see, as long as we stay united, we stand. For divided we fall. Amen. Si seguimos unidos, seguimos de pie. Estamos de pie. Pero si nos dividimos, nos caemos. Amen. Thank you.
We were talking about it last week, and thank you, Enrique, for that word this morning. And that's the truth, and that's where we are heading as a body together. But there's work to be done. There's some reconciliation to be had, and there's some healing and some honesty. I think each of us might have to weigh with some of the decision. And so thanks for that challenge and that reminder, because as long as we hold on to that, yeah, we're not really whole yet. And so it is hard. It's a lot easier said than done to come across and be a bridge to the body, right? And forgive and release and honor one another in our differences and see how we can find things that we can agree on, right? To find that momentum. And I think that's going to be something we continue to pray. Each and every one of us, each and every one of us has a part in this. Would you allow yourself to be changed by God in this area? That's really hard to let God come into this and challenge us to swallow some pride, swallow some hurt, trust him in this, trust him in this. He's leading the way. He's leading the way. Jesus is totally leading the way. And so if he gives you someone even this week, I would just say pray about, you know, if he gives you a name, someone that you might, you know, write a letter to or an email to, maybe, you know, seeking forgiveness or offering an apology or just beginning the process. You can only do what you can do. You're responsible for your conduct. So do your part, you know, right? If God is leading you in that, start that process. And, know, I pray that as the Lord works on our hearts in this way, we will become different people. We will become changed. And that is the truth. And the world will see that, and the church body will see that. We will know that we are, they'll know that we love God, right? Because they're going to see love amongst us, that the disciples are loving, they're working, they're praying together. And so that's the work we submit ourselves to. Let's close out in song together here as we, allow God to continue to speak this week to us in that message. And we stand together as we allow this to be our prayer closing out this morning.
I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. I want to be different. I want to be changed. Till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world will see there's something different. So come and be different. Yeah.
Go and be changed this week. Go walk with him in this truth, in this message. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Rest of your weekend.